throw all the money down there.
And her comment was, it was rich.
Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board for the City of Morro Bay. Today is Thursday, May 1st, 2014. Let the record show that we do have quorum. All members are here with the exception of Lynn Meissen. We'll begin with a moment of silence, please. Thank you. And we'll move on to the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with justice for all.
I flubbed it. Thank you very much. We'll move on to Chair and Advisory Board member announcements and presentations. I'll start over at my left and we'll move down. Gene.
It's hot out, but the water's nice.
Opening day today as well. Alan.
No announcements.
Actually, I have no announcements as well, other than today's opening. Well, Alan, you're a fisherman. Have you heard anything about today's opening commercial salmon and opening recreational rockfish? What's the buzz on the street, gentlemen?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have a salmon permit, and I haven't heard anything. Heard a lot of boats motoring around, but haven't seen any fish yet.
All right. Well, yeah, maybe we'll get that from Eric. We'll move down the line here. Bill?
No.
Dana?
Yeah, I have two announcements. The first one is this Sunday, the Morro Bay Junior Yacht Club is going to be hosting the San Luis Obispo Big Brothers, Big Sisters for a come out and sail day. We did this last year. It was a lot of fun. It was great to see the excitement of the kids and the adults. And we're looking forward to a really good event this Sunday. At the end of the month, we also have our annual marine swap meet. So anybody who wants to have a cellar space or donate things to the youth program for them to sell, this is a great event starting kind of the summer boating season, and that's the last, I think, the 31st of May. So come out for that, and we'll put out more. You can always go on the website at the Yacht Club and see all these activities.
And there's a catchy name for the swap meet, which is?
The Pirate Booty Swap Meet.
The Pirate Booty Swap Meet.
Yeah, so you don't want booty is kind of, yeah, whatever.
You don't want to miss that. You'll get some good things at some good prices. May 31st.
We're moving away from that.
We'll continue to go down. Last person, Ron.
Well, this is pretty well publicized, but the Morro Bay Harbor Department has a boat christening. It's a new boat. I'm sure the harbor director will tell you all about it, but they have a christening and open house coming up. Eric, you're going to tell folks all about that? Okay. So then I'll just let it go with that then.
All right. Thank you, Ron. And we wish for our current viewers that are watching this live, all three of them, we are wishing everyone involved with the car show a successful event this weekend, which is the first weekend in May. So we will now move on to the public comment period. I do see a couple of folks out there in our gallery. So we will open public comment period. Please come forward, state your name and city of residence, and welcome to the Harbor Advisory Board meeting.
Thank you, board members. I'm Roy McClish, representing the Morro Bay Yacht Club, here to talk a little bit about the summer sailing program. I, along with two other certified instructors, will be teaching classes all summer. It's an intro-level sailing class where we learn not only just how to sail the boat, but how to rig and de-rig it and how to properly care for boats as well as basic seamanship.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I think we had one other question here. Bill.
What is the cost?
So, depending on your age, if you're 8 to 12, it's $170. And 13 to 17, it's $190. And above that, it's $210 for 4 days.
And, for 4 days, and I believe there are some accommodations if people need some financial help as well.
Yes.
Yeah, there are some scholarships available.
Yep, you can email gboatmanmb@gmail.com.
Say that once more, please, Rory.
Gboatman, B-O-A-T-M-A-N, M-B, @gmail.com.
That's the email address for further information. And yes. One more, Ron.
And for folks, Rory, who just show up, where do they just show up?
Oh, it's at the Morro Bay Yacht Club. We ask that you register a little bit ahead of time so we know how many.
And I believe, Rory, there are flyers just outside the yacht club in the mail slot as
yes.
well. So if anyone wants to pick up a flyer, they can just take a very nice stroll down the Embarcadero and pick up a flyer right out in front of the yacht club.
Absolutely.
Any other questions, comments with regard to this? Very good. Thank you, Rory. We appreciate you coming tonight.
Thank you.
Public comment period is still open. Anyone else wishing to address the board, please come forward.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, board members. I am Larry Newland. I'm the president and sort of chief operating officer, bottle washer, et cetera, of the Morro Bay Maritime Museum Group, actually called Central Coast Maritime Museum Association. Been around since the 1990s. We're a 501c3. I know some of you folks, and I've been here before. It's been a little while, so I'm here to kind of put our ideas back on your radar screen a little bit, so because we have been busy. And so I just want to make a couple of announcements. There's a graphic here to my left and up on the overhead there of the boat cradle, display cradle for the historic Alma, the tug that we've been working on for quite a few years to get it presentable. And this tug was important to local history because it was involved in the rescue of three of the four lifeboats that came off of the U.S. or the SS Montebello, the oil tanker that was torpedoed off of Piedras Blancas December 23rd, 1941. And so this boat kind of makes a tie between the Central Coast and Morro Bay in World War II, a worldwide event of that sort. And then it towed targets in Estero Bay for many years, and it was kind of a colloquial, kind of figurehead at Morro Bay and Morro Bay waterfront for a long time. We retired in the 1990s, and then it was given to us, and then we finally took it out of the water because it was constantly in danger of sinking. And it's been in storage for many, many years and was getting pretty bad looking. But then a few years ago, we were able to obtain a grant from the Hine Foundation and got to work on it. Your own Dana McClish was involved with that and some others. Probably 700 or 800 hours of volunteer labor, mostly mine, painting and scraping and so forth. But we're getting close to having it in presentable condition. And sort of the final push to get it across the line, to get it out there for public display, is the construction of this display cradle, which is a conglomeration of my own design and other people I've spoken with, and a friend of mine who's a draftsman donated his time and put it together in a CAD program. And so it's about $2,500 in materials, and then about $3,600 for the hydraulic boat lift trailer that originally pulled the boat out of the water to come up here from Southern California and to put it on site. And then probably another couple thousand dollars for the barricades like we have around the submarine. So in all, we're looking for a few thousand dollars to raise some money to get it out there. But that will kind of fix the phase one of the Maritime Museum project, which is the outdoor static display. And then we can start thinking about the building. And the city has been working on modifying our lease or our agreement right now to let us bring one more vessel out there, and then working on a long-term 40-year lease for the property, which is roughly where the Coast Guard boat is right now, essentially, plus or minus a few hundred feet one way or the other. So I wanted to bring that to your attention, talk about the Alma project, and also on May 24th, a Saturday, we're going to start our open house program. We're going to open up the submarine for public viewing. People can crawl around in that, look in the Coast Guard boat if they want to. It's kind of an interesting craft. It was the predecessor of the 47s that are down there now. It has rollover technology, inverted fuel and oil like an aerobatic airplane, so it won't choke out and go through the waves. So it has a history in Morro Bay, and most people haven't been inside of it. So it'll be a chance for people to look at some technology going from the late 60s with the DSRV Avalon submarine and all the way up into the 90s with the rollover boat. And of course, the tie with Morro Bay with the submarine is that maybe most of you know that Morro Bay was originally talked about having a submarine base here in the 30s. That didn't pan out because there wasn't enough water, but it became... I think my time is about up, so unless there are questions, I just wanted to put that on your radar.
Thank you, Larry. Any questions or comments for Larry? We'll start down here. Ron?
Larry, the shift from the harbor yard where the boat for the Alma is now to her display location, is that a one-time movement?
Probably not. Because the tentative plan for the building is about is to have the building about where the Coast Guard boat is right now, and the tentative plan for the Alma is to move the Coast Guard boat a few feet north over by that big eucalyptus tree and that little dirt patch and put the Alma where the Coast Guard boat is. And we'll have to probably adjust the submarine location a little bit, pull it back. We are getting the original trailer that the submarine came on. I've made a deal with the Navy and the Keyport Museum, the Navy Museum in Washington State, and they're actually getting the Mystic, which is a sister ship to the Avalon, and they're bringing back free of charge that big trailer. So we're going to pick the Avalon off and put it back on that trailer. And when we do, we'll pull it back probably 10 feet or so, and that'll give us enough length for the Alma. But back to your original question, when the building gets started, if it goes right there, we'll have to move it again.
But a one-time shift for a while.
Say again. I'm not following
you. A one-time shift for a while. It won't be moved for a while.
Oh, again. It'll be a while.
Okay. Yep. So yep. I'm a little... Has the museum looked into having a mover other than somebody to come into town with a hydraulic trailer?
We've talked about it. We could soft sling it with a crane. That gives me a little bit of a pause. She's an old bag of bones held together by chicken wire and you know, concrete like a swimming pool. And I guess with spreader bars and putting them correctly, we could hire a crane service, probably 40 to 50,000 pounds. We don't know exactly what it weighs. We could do that. But there's nobody around here in the local area that actually has a hydraulic trailer. That would be a great thing for the city and the harbor to have. You can find those, but they're kind of expensive, probably $10,000 or $20,000. But they have poppets that move, and they're submersible, and there's two or three companies that make them. This one's 30-ton capacity. But it's a logistic problem, moving big boats in Morro Bay. You guys know that. You've been talking about a boatyard. It's difficult to move large boats in Morro Bay. So we really haven't talked to anybody locally because we don't know of anybody locally that's really equipped to do that job. Unless you have some ideas, I'd love to, you know, I'm open-minded about
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Larry. We'll continue to go down the line. Dana?
Yeah, on the 27th, your open house.
The 24th.
24th,
it's
I'm
Saturday.
Sorry. 24th. Yeah. Do you have a crew member, an original crew member going to be there for
yes.
that?
Yeah, Bernie, his last name, Kowalski, Barkowski, excuse me, crewed on the Avalon from 83 to 85. He lives in Fresno, and he comes over here and he helps us, and he loves talking about it. He said he was 23 years in the Navy. He was on a fast attack nuclear submarine, but he did a few years on the Avalon at Submarine Rescue Unit in Coronado, and he said that was the best duty he had in the Navy. And I've talked to two or three people who said the same thing, that they and I recently, I know we're running out of time, but I recently ran across a family member whose father was the chief engineer on at Lockheed Ocean Systems in the 60s, and he just passed away, but she's bringing his widow and a bunch of Caltech graduates that worked on it. They were having a reunion here in the summer, and the and I bumped this another guy that works with me at Caltrans. His dad retired from Lockheed, and he worked on it, too, in Sunnyvale. So people are kind of coming out of the woodwork that have some kind of a connection with this thing. But Bernie's been was the first, and he'll be there on the 24th.
Let's say one thing here. I had the opportunity to look inside the submarine, go up inside, and crawl around in there. And it's very interesting. And that same day, earlier in the day, Larry had said something to me about how photographed it was. one of the most photographed things in Morro Bay. I just kind of went, what? What's he talking about? When I was on the sub, we were up on top fixing the hatch. There was car after car, drive up, windows down, cameras out, taking pictures. I saw a lady run across the street with her camera. Yeah, I was very surprised, but people really love to look at what's going on there. See, they're a huge interest, point of interest right there. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana. Any other questions, comments? Bill, Alan?
Is the engine still in the Alma?
Yeah, and a lot of time down there, so just come on by.
Two more quick questions or statements. When the wind was really blowing here several weeks, 3 or 4 weeks ago, the prop on the rescue tub was spinning, which was really, really cool. And then on the submarine base, I was under the impression there was a hole under the rock and there was a secret submarine base underneath there.
I can't comment on that, Gene. I don't know what history books you're reading, but okay.
We're not supposed to let all the secrets out, Gene.
Yeah.
Any other questions, comments for Larry? Thank you very much,
Thank you.
We appreciate you coming
tonight. I appreciate it.
And giving us the update. Anyone else for public comment? Seeing none, public comment period is hereby closed. We'll move down the agenda to item A, the consent calendar. First item is the only item in the consent calendar is item A1, the approval of the minutes from the Harbor Advisory Board meeting held last month on April 3rd, 2014. I trust you've all had an opportunity to review the minutes. Are there any changes or amendments to the minutes as presented? Seeing none, I'll look for a motion to approve.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
It's moved by Gene to approve, seconded by Bill. Any discussion? No discussion. We'll call for a vote. All in favor of approving the minutes as submitted, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That passes unanimously. We'll move on to item B, public hearings, reports, and appearances. This is the Harbor Department status report that we get from our very own Eric Endersby. Eric.
Thank you, and good evening, Chair and Board. So I've got a few things on here, not a lot, but I got a lot of plus, plus, pluses for things that have come up in the meantime. So we'll try to get them all in, and Polly will kick me if I forget something, I hope. North T Pier, at the last few meetings, we've been waiting on the Corps of Engineers permit to get that project underway. Well, we finally got the permit from Corps of Engineers last Friday, about 6:30 p.m. They gave us their notice to proceed. We turned around, got it signed, overnighted it on Monday morning back, and so we're good to go. We've given our contractor, Associated Pacific, notice to proceed. They're looking at beginning on this next Tuesday. I believe that's the 5th, if I'm right. They were going to start. So the primary amount of work was out on the south leg of the pier. They were going to start at the base of the pier where the pier meets the pavement at the abutment. It needs a significant amount of work, but they've decided to go out to the water part first. So they're going to start up there hopefully Tuesday, get the crane barge down, and begin pulling piles and planks and everything else and get moving on that project. So that will be good. Associated with that, and I guess so we've got a lot of boats that we're moving around, we're shuffling around, a lot of boats have left. You know, we've got a lot of boats that are somewhat active and a lot of boats that are somewhat inactive. It's been a challenge, but we've managed to get a lot of them moved on, and we're going to get the rest of them moved on as the crane barge moves in and starts its work. So that will be good. On the lease front, at the April 8th meeting, the City Council approved the assignment of the Gray's Inn lease from Josephine Gray to Todd and Tamara Baston. There are some folks that have been long-term guests there that wanted to move up from Southern California and operate that hotel and gallery, and they did. City Council approved the consent of landowner and the assignment and assumption of that lease. They're going to do, basically the building stays the same in their proposal. They still need to do the full submittal to planning and building to do their more significant work, but in essence, they're proposing to leave the building pretty much as is. From a footprint standpoint, they're going to upgrade one of the units to ADA code standard, which it never had because it was built back in the probably 1960s. Put the waterway or the boardwalk out on the backside, the walkway out on the backside, so ADA access to that from the street between the Gray's Inn and the Kayak Horizons, probably some sort of a shared access through there with Kayak Horizons coming up for some remodeling as well here in the not-too-distant future. Removal of a storage shed, some other landscaping improvements, and a full 8-foot sidewalk. It's pretty much 8-foot now. It's just got a couple tweaks it needs to make to get full 8-foot. So it'll be good. And then in the future, they'll probably look at the boat dock and the gangway and do some upgrades there. So pretty neat there with Gray's Inn and Gallery staying the same. It's not going to change much. It's going to get some good cosmetic and some structural work. It needs some work on railings and stairways and whatnot. But all in all, hopefully that'll be a good process there. The City Council at their April 8th meeting, and this ties into the whole boatyard ad hoc committee work on the boatyard. At the April 8th meeting, the City Council did, as part of that consideration of the Fishing Community Sustainability Plan, authorize spending matching funds to the Fishermen's Organization grant funding they got from the Cable Committee to work on that market analysis, feasibility study for boatyard siting. They asked that I bring back a contract with Lisa Wise Consulting to the next meeting, which is May 13th, which we have in the works. So we're planning on bringing that to May 13th for approval to get that part of the salmon, hopefully, here in the next few days, how it's doing for the commercial guys. The Morrobee National Estuary Program had its State of the Bay events all during April. They had numerous individual events kind of spread across town. They had a major event at April 12th at Tidelands Park. We were part of that. We did a little show and tell with our patrol boat and did some boating safety and environmental awareness work with our staff down there and clean boating type information. So that was good. They had their opening ceremony and report was up at Recreation Parks earlier in the month. I attended that on the afternoon on Saturday. So all in all, that was a pretty good set of events they had there. On April 11th and 12th was the Morrobee Emergency Vehicle Parade, another parade that's been maybe 3 or 4 years in the making now. We entered had our truck and one of our rescue jet skis in that. All sorts of different cool old fire trucks and police cars and stuff in that. So that was another well-attended event. As we said earlier, we've got the car show going now. It's kind of starting this evening. I saw they already had MBB closed off and part of it up there, and really the festivities will start tomorrow with, I think, the parade, the drive through on Friday evening, and then Saturday, Sunday all day with the car show. April 13th, if I got that right, Dane, was that your opening day at the Yacht Club? Did we finally get that date right? So that event went well, from what I understand. Blessing of the Fleet occurred on April 27th. That was last Saturday, another well-attended event. I think we got the date wrong a couple times on that. Morrobee Kite Festival was just that last weekend. I was out of town and got back late Saturday night and was not very available on Sunday due to the duration of my drive. But I guess Saturday was pretty windy with a little cold front that had moved through. Sunday was a lot nicer in terms of sun and warmth, but that festival seemed like it went pretty well. And then Easter services Sunday at the Rock on April 20th, another well-attended event and very well-organized. By the churches that put that on. As Ron mentioned, on May 17th, we have our Harbor Department boat christening and open house. We've never really showcased our department. We've always been ones to kind of let our own work and our deeds do our talking, but we're raising our profile a little bit. So we're having an open house on May 17th from 10 a.m. to noon. We've kind of showcased ourselves a little bit at Harbor Festival over the years, but this has taken it to another level. And coupled with the Morrobee 50th celebration and our new boat, we're tying it all together and having a nice come one, come all celebration where we'll tour our boats. Coast Guard boats will be available as well. So we ask anybody and everybody to come on out and celebrate with us. I think we're going to have the old bottle of champagne across the bow kind of routine, so it should be pretty fun. And then, as Gene mentioned earlier, the channel markers, the red side channel markers from the harbor entrance in to about the North T Pier are gone for a short period of time. The Corps of Engineers dredge ship Yukuna is coming in next, I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday, the 5th or 6th. They'll be here for about 20, 22 days of their usual dredging. And as part of that, those channel markers on the red side or the south side of the channel are generally in their way. So the Coast Guard comes and pulls those out. Well, they pulled those out. I think maybe with the assistance of Gene and his company today. So they're out. Unfortunately, we get a couple hundred boats out there today, recreational salmon fishing and commercial salmon fishing and recreational rock fishing. They all go out in the morning, and then they all come back in the afternoon. The channel markers are missing. So timing is everything. So just everybody needs to be aware that those channel markers on the right side of the channel are not there. And there's some serious shoaling over there, so favor the green side, favor the north side of the channel. Plenty of water over there, so when you're coming and going, just watch out for that. And watch out for the dredge. It's a tough thing to miss, 200 feet long by about 200 feet tall, so tough to miss it, but just be aware of those navigational hazards. And then I want to give some kudos to the sailing program. My son, 9-year-old son, 8-year-old last year, he went in the sailing program last year, had an absolute blast. You've got him hooked. So hopefully he'll be coming back. He's doing junior guards this year, too. His first year junior guard, so he's going to have a busy summer. So hopefully we'll get him back in that as well. And, Polly, did I miss anything? All right. Any questions, comments?
Thank you, Eric. Questions or comments for our harbor director? Start down with Ron. Nope. Dana? Bill? Good job, Eric. You covered it all. No questions. Thank you very much, Eric. We appreciate that update.
Thank you.
That concludes item B1, public hearings, reports, and appearances. We'll move on to item C, unfinished business, which is a report from our Marine Services Facility Ad Hoc Committee. We kind of updated the name of that committee from the Boatyard Haulout Facility to Marine Services Facility to encompass all of the above. So I will welcome our chairman of that the chairperson of that ad hoc committee, Ron Reisner, to give us a report, please.
Director Andersby, I summarized the current situation, which is the city will shortly be reviewing
these studies going. The way we envision it'll be, you know, pretty much a partnership with the Fishermen's Organization and managing Lisa Wise Consulting in the plan, with a good deal amount of input, you know, back and forth on a pretty continuous basis as we work through the different tasks identified in the plan with the ad hoc committee and its membership, and through Alan and the Fishermen's Organization, that co-management through the fishermen's input as well, and then coming back to the Harbor Advisory Board as necessary if there's any sort of milestones or any decisions that need to be made, or, you know, I'm sure we'll do an update or two. Lisa Wise Consulting, I think on their timeline, very conservatively estimated about 8 months. Speaking to Henry, he'll be the project manager. He believes that more in the order of September, maybe even August, they'll really be winding it up. So timeline-wise, we'll probably get a chance for at least one, maybe two visits back to the Harbor Advisory Board. But that's kind of how we see it. And then, like I say, working back and forth with the committee and the committee members, and then any other sort of input from the Fishermen's Organization to make sure that we've got the right sort of information coming and going to our consultant, and that the right questions are being asked, and that we're drilling down in the right areas. Anything to add, Ron? Does that sound about right?
That's my understanding. So the committee, so to wrap up the committee's report, during the period of the study, the committee will be taking its cues from the harbor director, who has been tasked, I believe it's correct to say, been tasked by the city with representing the city insofar as the consultant study is concerned.
Correct. I mean, assuming on the 13th they approve the contract, you know, it's our standard consulting contract. There's nothing really much in there, but it does identify myself, harbor director, as the city's agent on that. So, yeah, I'll be working with Ron and the rest of the committee and the Harbor Advisory Board, for that matter, and doing that back and forth and making sure we get what we need in there.
Thank you to both of you gentlemen. Any questions for the committee chair? I'll start down at the end here with Gene.
Eric, do you know whether there's been any movement from the city council about acquiring additional Duke or PG&E property towards a boatyard storage area?
The city is still in active negotiations with the power plant. You know, as you know, there were the two different agreements or leases. I guess one was, ours was a lease. We had the outfall lease agreement for $275,000 a year, and then there was the $500,000 a year community development fund that the power plant was paying into. And in lieu, when they ultimately decided to close earlier this year, in lieu of paying that last $500,000 payment, they requested that the city entertain the idea of some property ownership changes where they deed some property over, and the city is currently in the middle of negotiating several different potential parcels that the power plant owns, but nothing's concluded yet. I think there's a closed session item on the 13th for an update on that, or maybe for some action, but at this point it's still being negotiated. But we're working on it. The city is working on it.
Thank you, Gina. Allen?
Is there any, can you give us any clues what pieces of property you're negotiating about, or is that not to be announced?
No, unfortunately, it's confidential at this point. It's all real property negotiations, so that's all closed session stuff. I've seen the original list, you know, of the laundry list of potential properties, but it was Ann Russell, our interim city manager that we had after Rob Schultz left us, that took it up, and then she took a little ways after after we hired our now city manager we have now, Joseph Pannoni. He's taken the ball now, and where they are, I haven't been privy to those negotiations. So, no, even if I knew and could tell you, I don't know.
Thank you. Dana?
Eric, do you see joint meetings between the ad hoc committee and the Commercial Fishermen's Organization to look, as things progress with the consulting firm and the analysis?
Yeah, I would see whatever sort of meetings and get-togethers and conference calls is necessary. Committee with Lisa Wise Consulting, all of us together, you know, whatever it takes to make sure that the information is being exchanged and we all know what's going on and we're all relatively happy with what's going on, yeah. I mean, I've got no preconceived notions as to, you know, we're going to have three meetings and, you know, it's whatever it takes.
Good. Ron, do you have any questions for yourself? Okay. Thank you. Any other questions, comments with regard to this topic? Eric? No? We're good? Okay. Thank you. Yes, Alan.
I attended the last...
Your microphone, please. Thank you.
I attended the last city council meeting, and Nancy, in particular, mentioned that she was...
met with Councilwoman Johnson and with Councilman League, who expressed the same thoughts during that council meeting, and as Alan just pointed out, shared with them that it is the ad hoc committee's opinion and was the recommendation of the Harbor Advisory Board that the next step relative to a marine facility would be to do a market demand analysis for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is...
A little straighter on that mic, please. Thank you very much.
Not the least of which is that it may serve to define what kind of marine facility might work in Morro Bay.
Thank you, Ron. Other questions, comments? Very good. That concludes item C under unfinished business, and we will now move on to item D on the agenda, new business. The first item, D1, discussion and recommendations regarding the need for location and use of and interest in a potential dock designated for direct to the public off the boat fish sales in Morro Bay. That's a mouthful, isn't it? So I will defer to our harbor director, Eric.
Thank you. Yeah, I was trying to get to four lines on that subject, but I just ran out of things to say. So this is an agenda item that the Harbor Advisory Board wished to agendize from from back in March, and also there's been interest expressed from the commercial fishermen. I think we had that presentation on fishing gear types here earlier in the year, and several of the fishermen in attendance expressed an interest that, you know, if we only had a place to sell from off the boat that was sort of a designated area. So the advisory board wished to agendize it, so we've done that. You know, there's the way it works now. I mean, off the boat sales is I won't say it's a new phenomenon, but it's a gotten to be a fairly popular way for fishermen to sell, mostly salmon and albacore during the season. But there's, unlike a lot of other harbors that have a centralized area where everybody goes, a dock that's designated for it, so the public has, you know, sort of one-stop shopping, they know where to go. Our fishermen are left to stay in their slips or go to the pier, which can lead to, you know, confusion and lack of folks knowing where to go unless they know the fishermen well or know exactly where to go. So the interest is there in trying to locate a potential one-stop shopping dock. And then there's, you know, with the Fishline Seafood app that we had a presentation on a couple meetings ago, there's a lot more social marketing and internet marketing. And fishermen have gotten really good in the last 10 years. Rather than just relying on the fish dock to buy their fish, and being done with it, realizing there's potential for higher income selling off the boat and giving openings to other markets, and educating the public. I mean, I think it's a great public education tool when the public can come to the boat and see the fish in the round, and talk to the fishermen about catching it and everything else, and engage in that conversation. I think that helps the industry in general. So it's become a phenomenon, it's become popular, and the interest is there to see if there's a consolidated area to do it. So that's why we're bringing it back to the Harbor Advisory Board to bat the ideas around and see what sort of recommendations, if any, or direction, if any, we can get from the Advisory Board. I'm happy to answer location or logistics or other sorts of things right now. Like I said, there's our rules and regulations don't prevent fishermen from doing it from their docks. They have to have health department okay to do it, and they've got to have a commercial fishing resale license, I believe, to do it. But they are precluded from going to our public facilities and going and selling off of our public facilities by our current rules and regulations. So it would be a rules and regulations change if it came to that. So with that, I'll open it up and see what sort of discussion we can get going.
Thank you, Eric. And I'll mention at this time, too, that normally what we would do is go through a few questions with Eric and then open it up to public comment. There's no one in the gallery at this point, so we won't have a public comment period. So we'll have our Q&A period with Eric, and then we will decide if we want to make any recommendations. So questions for Eric. Bill.
Would this be somewhat like a farmer's market, but it would be called a fisher's market, where there would be a designated area and it would be set times? I mean, I just like to know the envisionment of this whole thing. And if it's set times, I mean, isn't it all really dependent on if there's fish available? So it's kind of a interesting thing.
And any and all of the above. I think that's why we're here, to see what sort of ideas are there and what sort of interest there is. You're right. I mean, and sometimes there may be nothing available. And if you advertise every Thursday evening from, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., someone's going to be there, and there's not, then there's not, and that doesn't help it any, because people pretty quickly burn out on ever trying to show up. So I think between the internet and the fish app, Fishline app, and those sorts of things, the idea with that is, people can get on their device, click, they can see,
Could give us your insight and let us know if there's any official or unofficial position that the CFO, Commercial Fishermen's Organization, has with this topic. We'd certainly be interested to hear what you have to say.
With regards to the fish dock, sales off the boat, we had a positive response. We got 20 responses from our email survey, and we had, I think it was 15 people said that they thought that they would like to try that. I did a summary, and then I sent a note out to the members of the ad hoc committee saying that just because a fisherman says that he's going to sell at the fish dock does not mean he necessarily will. We want to keep our options open. And everybody can sell off the boat now, and almost nobody does. So I proposed that we try to get some kind of an experimental dock going. In my mind, I was thinking possibly Tidelands Park, just something that's already there where we could try this idea out. I think we'd know a lot more about whether we wanted to spend money and build a structure. As far as the timing goes, when a fisherman comes in, he has to sell his fish fairly quickly. If he can't sell it, then he's got to take it to a fish buyer. So trying to have certain days and certain times, our businesses are run by the weather. We never know when or where we're going to be. And so it can be nice weather and everybody can be out fishing, or it can be nice weather and people can be in because they already got their fish. So I think it's going to have to be a kind of a thing where people come, and if anybody's got fish to sell, they'll be there. But the opportunity for them to pull up to the dock is pretty much going to have to be as much as possible, as opposed to trying to secure a small area, one day a week for 3 or 4 hours. I can't see that working as well as the thing ought to work, And also crab season, evidently the crab guys up in Half Moon Bay, they do a real big business during crab season, selling to people. So there's other things going on too. So it has a real potential. I just think we need to plumb the depths a little bit. If we could put something together that was temporary, we would get a better idea of who was really going to play in this game.
This question is to both you, Alan, and Eric. Do you see any potential detriment or drawbacks from doing this other than underutilization? It seems to me that the real risk of this would be simply that we build it and nobody comes. It's just underutilized. But am I missing something? Are there other risks that would be involved?
Well, of course, there's always the fish buyers would, you know, they're going to be thinking, no, you know, this is competition for me. But Mark Tognazzini, who is a fish buyer, kind of a small order, he's on the he's a director with the Fisherman's Organization, and he said he thinks any time that the fishermen can get more money for their product, that's good for everybody, including the fish buyers, because they can stay in business. Typically, somebody selling off the boat is going to have a small catch, and somebody that comes in with a big load, they're not going to want to deal with trying to sell to the public. They're going to want to turn around and go back out and get another big load, and they're going to sell it to the buyer. So it seems like a win-win thing. I certainly think it would promote tourism, because I always have people coming up and saying, is anybody selling fish? Where are they? Where are they selling? And I'm going, I don't know, you know, down there maybe. So it really isn't happening in this town yet, but it could. It definitely could.
So the concept that you're discussing is the individual fisherman selling his or her catch from that dock. Has there been given thought at all, and I'm just thinking out loud with you, to having someone staff that position so that the fisher person wouldn't have to be there actually selling their product?
That's not legal.
Oh, very good.
The fisherman has to buy a retail license, and he has to sell the fish off his boat. And technically, he has to sell the fish in the round.
Mm-hmm. So, meaning whole.
Yeah. And in the past, the one time I saw somebody, you know, making a pretty good business out of selling albacore here, he was selling the fish whole to the person, and then as a courtesy, he was cleaning it, throwing the entrails in a garbage can to let the crab fishermen and the slime eel fishermen have bait. But at some point, you're going to have to wash down with a hose. So that's another thing that nobody's really talked about yet. If you keep the area clean, how are you going to keep the rinse water from going in the bay, or is there some kind of a way around that, an exemption, or, you know, we're going to be facing that question too, if we allow people to clean. So those are things that are going to be coming up on that.
Very good. Other questions, comments, discussion? Gene.
Yeah, a couple of comments. To me, logically, an interim location would be Thailand dock. I mean, that's pretty logical. It has parking. It has handicap accessibility.
There.
Right. Thank you, Alan. Bill.
So, yeah, it would seem to me, as Gene said, if we could just allocate Tideland's dock as the fish buying facility, and then again, it's up to the fishermen to go there whatever time, not designated at a certain area. Are we able to do that? I mean, in other words, that is where people would sell their fish. Yeah, or a portion of it, you know, in case there's other buddy there.
Yeah.
You know, and because, as they say, I don't think we can set a time. I don't think we can say every Thursday, every Saturday. It would have to be when the fisherman wants to do it. And so he has the facility. If he doesn't want to sell it off his boat, at least he has an area where he can do that. And then we can promote it, and or, you know where to tell people.
So it sounds like if we made a recommendation, that would be part of the recommendation, provide the facilities but not provide specific hours for
right.
the operation because
Correct.
Of the the demands that Alan mentioned to us. Dana?
Well, it just seems like that selling off the boat is the best option. They're cold, and that's a good way to go. You mentioned that the guys that are tied up to the pier have a hard time. Explain that to me.
Well, the boat's typically much lower than the pier,
yeah.
So handing fish up and down and money up and down. Oh, it's on. Sorry.
There you go.
Yeah, it's much more difficult to actually make the exchanges. Also, guys tend to be, rafted out. You never know where you're going to be. It's hard to get against the pier when you come in. When you just come in with a load of fish, you're usually having to tie up on the outside. That's not so bad if you're at a dock, but if people have to climb down a ladder and then go over two boats, then it gets really difficult. One thing I was going to say about the Tidelands Park was if you were going to allow a portion of that for commercial selling, it might be possible to for, you know, what you might think is smaller space than you were thinking of, because boats could raft up, and people, fishermen typically will allow people to go across their boat, especially if there's, you know, need to get fish. So you could have two or three boats deep there and get away with less space, possibly. And it's a temporary proposition at this point. We'd like to see it further north. You know, if we were going to build, it would probably, we would want it in the Measure D area, I would think.
Yeah, it seems like with the apps and the combination of different ways of doing it, that way people, you know, fishermen who like selling off their boat can still do that. They don't have to worry about, well, everybody's over at the dock, now I have to go over to the dock, but the dock's full, or something like that. But at the same time, I think a location for, like you're talking about, something that you're just trying out temporarily to see how it works, I think that's a great idea. And then I agree also that in the Measure D area, it would be a good place if it does work, seeing that, you know, that's what it's for. I remember seeing the oyster guys and other people right there at the bottom of Beach Street, where your boat is right now, using that dock a lot for selling fish off of. And I thought, you know, on the T pier, if they just had a pop-up and threw that up, if they're on the third boat rafted out and they're up here selling fish, is that not kosher? Or that not acceptable? Because you have people selling on a dock, is there a problem selling off the wharf?
It's just the actual handling of the fish.
I think that could be overcome.
Well, you did bring up one interesting point. A lot of the guys that responded in the survey said, well, that's fine to put in a fish selling dock, but I still want to have the option to sell on my slip, because some of the guys have been doing it for years, particularly tuna, and they have their customers know where they are, and they don't want to upset that.
We're going to go to Gene in just a moment, but I wanted to clarify with you, Dennis. So when you were speaking of the Measure D area, which is the north of Beach Street, the waterfront area north of Beach Street, as a preferred area, you were referring to that on a permanent basis?
Correct.
Okay, good. Okay, so we could look at a temporary site, and if it works out, then focus on that as a permanent. Gene.
Two questions, or a comment and a question. Eric, is there any stipulations on the Tidelands dock besides three-hour tie-up, as opposed to the commercial docks selling off of that?
Oh, funny you ask. We do have tie-up. Like, I think, yes, there's a time limit there now. It would take a regulation change to allow it. Just on that standpoint alone, that dock was built with California Department of Boating and Waterways funding, grant funding. I don't think loans. It was all grants. Those grants generally have a term, and using a recreational built facility for commercial uses, I'd have to look and see what our restrictions on that may be. That was one of the things I was going to bring
up. Lease sites, and there's also the little lease site just south of where Reggie is. But, you know, close to Tidelands. All it's good for is a dock, you know, eventually.
So that could be a potential permanent site just north of Tidelands Park. Other discussion, questions, comments? Yes, Alan.
The fishermen would not want to see their slips taken away from them to make a fish selling dock, because we already have a waiting list for slips, and I don't have any idea where it would go, and haven't been in this harbor advisory business long enough to really know, but that is one point.
So, and that seems to be, to me, Alan, a consideration that would need to be taken into account when deliberating on a permanent position. It seems to me that what we're talking about right now is an interim situation, a temporary situation, where we are discovering how well this thing would work, if at all. Because I don't think we want to get into a discussion tonight about a permanent location. The first step in that process is doing this if we want to recommend a temporary situation. Are you all on board with me with that?
Yeah, I think we need to find out how doable it is to use Tideland's dock first and then kind of go from there. But, I mean, it could be that could be our recommendation, that if it were, could work out, a portion of it.
And I don't think, I certainly never gave it a thought, not in my mind, that if, even if we're talking about on a permanent basis, okay, this is the off-the-boat fish sale place, I wouldn't have any intent, and I don't think there would be any support for not allowing it in the slips anymore as an alternative. I think it's, do both if you want.
Right. Yeah. They're
not. And you know, we do have those little street end docks. They're smaller. If there's more than one boat, it'd be definitely a raft out, and they're not under, if Tideland's dock still is under some sort of restriction. We do have those street end, you know, next to the galley and the old roses there and down next to Reggie. So a little smaller. So those may be, and those are real centrally located. I mean, if you talk about a busy weekend with a ton of tourists walking around, you know, and they're all, now we've got the waterway, the walkway on the backside, and you got a lot of people wandering around, and they see a boat down there with, where they can't do it now, you know, because our slips, with the exception of the slips below the Anchor Memorial Park, you know, our slips are at either end of the central tourism, quote-unquote, zone. And so you don't, I mean, you get foot traffic, but not as much as you do in that central zone, and you may just, if we were to allow it in one of those, you get all the foot traffic going through there. And those docks aren't heavily used by our recreational boaters. They're mainly skiff landings for the folks on moorings, if anything. So that may be some other spots to consider.
So I've heard three potentials so far, the public docks, the Tidelands location, and then the location at the end of Beach Street, where the oyster sales are going on right now.
Sorry.
Any other potential temporary locations?
Well, there's no dock there, but south of the South Tee Pier, like Gene was saying, I don't know how that would work. You'd have to put a dock there.
Okay. So, yeah, if there's no dock there now, that wouldn't make for a very good temporary situation. But that could be something that would be explored in looking at a permanent location if we ever got there. Dana?
Yeah, going back to what you just said about the ones, the public docks, I'm thinking the one between the Hofbräu and the Galley Restaurant is a good one, because you could come in with a fishing boat and leave with a fishing boat pretty easily, because there's not slips in front of either one of those restaurants. What's that? Well, but the other places have slips already. I mean, you know, if we're looking at temporary, soon, something like that, that seems like a possibility as a good spot. And then you don't have the issue of that Tideland's may have, Tideland's dock.
And if we were to, my recommendation would be if we were to go and allow it at one of those, it would be, I would almost think, a blanket for all three of them, just see which one works best. We are, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of a project, but at Rose's Landing, they're putting in a set of slips there, and the northernmost one, which will be close to the street end there, is designated for city use, for us to use, because that's just one of the conditions of the permit that he got, but partially because he's impacting that street end dock there as well, and it'll be a regular face in and out slip, so... I mean, that's a little ways out. Mr. Redican's going through the permit process right now. I think he's at Coastal, and he's getting closer, but I have to have the conversation with him.
And we've identified these three sites, and I think we could leave it to the discretion of Harbor Department to figure out which is the easiest and which is the most difficult. And those three sites that we identified were Tidelands, the public docks, and where the oyster sales are occurring now at the end of Beach Street. So would someone like to make that motion?
Before the motion is made, are you talking about having the Harbor Department determine feasibility for those sites? I didn't hear the word feasibility in your suggestion.
Well, the way that I'm looking at it, Ron, is this is we're plumbing the waters. We're testing things out here with the temporary site. So I don't know how much we would want to burden the department.
I misspoke.
With that.
I wasn't talking about economic feasibility. I was talking about permit feasibility. whether it could actually happen on those sites or not.
Yeah, and that's why I mentioned, I think if we give those three sites as options, we can leave that to the discretion of the Harbor Department. And if Harbor finds out that it's an ominous task to get a waiver for the Tidelands to have commercial activity occur there, then they can look at those other two options and figure out which is most viable of those. Yes, Dana.
What if we just have the Harbor Department come back to us with, the best scenario from what we've just discussed, and then go from there?
Out of those three?
Sure.
Yeah, and that's what I'm. I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. But we, I think we need to kick this up to council, and have. And exactly. Yeah, we don't really have the privilege of telling Harbor what to do. we can attempt, but.
And I think the way I would look at it is, you know, if we get a recommendation to, you know, authorize the biggest hurdle, and with the exception of Tidelands, I do need to look at that grant and see what sort of restrictions. And it may just be totally off the table. Pretend it is. We've got the 3-hour docks, and then down by the Oyster Place, the biggest hurdle is the slips, where the oysters are being done, is already in our slips, which is already allowed. The 3-hour docks, it's a rules and regulations change, which would need to go to council. So I would, and then whether it works or not, in terms of physical viability, I think the fishermen will determine that, and financial. And if it turns out to be a good thing, it'll get used. And if it doesn't, it won't. But it'll be allowed if needed. So I would envision, if we get a recommendation that, you know, and look at these three sites, whichever seems best from a legal standpoint and a logistical standpoint on first blush, carry that to the council for recommendation for a rules and regs change. And then we'll just bring those rules and regs change to them, and they'll either make them or not.
And I agree, Eric, and where I'm trying to go with this is as little hardship upon the department and the city resources as possible, because at the end of the day, who knows, this may not be something that the fishermen want. So I would like to get this trial balloon up as easily as possible. That's where I'm going with it. That's my thoughts on it.
Do we need to ask the fishermen do they think this is a good alternative or no? Or they've already kind of told us?
Yeah, they've already taken that survey.
Okay, just checking.
So what we're saying at this time is we can set up a temporary facility, see if it's used, and go from there.
Well, one thing, how temporary?
Mic on.
The temporariness of it will determine whether it's a success, because it won't catch on immediately. You know, it's going to take a while. You know, I'm thinking at least a year to find out. And as far as the fishermen racing over there, almost everybody says they'll do it, but, you know, you really have to see who actually does. We all would like to do it. I said I would like to do it, but 3/4 of the year I'm fishing black cod, and I don't think people are going to be coming down the docks to buy a whole black cod. Maybe I'm wrong, but. Ron?
One right here.
Okay.
So I move that the Harbor Advisory Board recommended the City Council to direct the Harbor Department to establish a temporary venue for sales of off-the-dock fish product to exist for at least 1 year. And we have identified three potential sites: Tidelands, the public docks, or the docks, the slips at the end of Beach Street. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. So the motion's out there. It's been seconded. Further discussion?
Maybe we can amend it to like the most feasible dock.
Well, it's the boat sales, and I take that. I look around now. I figure out what's going to work best. Go to the City Council as an agenda item with the recommended changes to my rules and regulations at such and such a site, and they say approved, and then it's done.
So if I eliminate
that... Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So if I eliminate that portion from my motion about identifying potential sites, would that help you in terms of expediting the process?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not necessarily... The Harbor Advisory Board doesn't need to recommend that the council direct me to do it. The Harbor Advisory Board recommends that this be an allowed use or be something that can happen.
Great. Okay. So I would amend my motion then just to recommend that the council establish a temporary venue
that the council allow a temporary, if you want to call it experimental, dock to be used for off-the-boat fish sales.
Okay. So I move then, I'll retract my motion, and I'll move that the Harbor Advisory Board recommend to the City Council that they establish a temporary venue. I do want to throw in for at least a year, for the duration of at least a year, to make available for the fishermen to sell their product.
Then you're right. Then I can bring that to the council with the rules and regs change. You know, if we've still got a couple potential sites, bring that to decision with them if they want to make a decision on sites, if we need to drill down on any one of them or all three. So
okay, great.
That seems a little cleaner. Gives you more leeway. Not to put words in your mouth.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
All right. Thank you. Good. That sounds good. Thank you, Eric. That gives you more leeway to do what you need to do. Discussion on the motion further? Alan?
I believe it's going to turn out that it would be really nice.
Oh, sorry, your mic.
I believe it's going to turn out that we are going to want fresh water available. So I just think sanitary conditions are going to require that.
Your point earlier, it's a health department condition that they're not to be processing on the boat because it does entail covered area and sanitary conditions and restrooms and the whole nine yards, because now you're a fish processor, where just giving the fish in the hole in the round isn't, but they're doing it as a courtesy. Kind of getting around that can be a problem, and you're right. And we definitely wouldn't want a bunch of processing starting to happen on the dock. So, when we draft up, if this goes forward, I'm envisioning drafting up the rules and regulations to potentially address that, because it can't turn into a processing station. So water use, I don't want it to be made available for processing. I wouldn't want it to be made available for processing, but for general quick wash of the hands, sanitation, I can understand that.
That's good. And also fishermen with some species do have the option of cleaning and heading and gutting, whatever, at sea. California Fish and Game allows that for some species. So I think that would make a much more sellable product if we could get something like that going.
So we do have a motion on the floor, and we'll continue our discussion on this motion. Gene?
Yeah, I would think that maybe not the entire Tidelands dock be allowed for commercial fishermen, because I know the recreational folk use it quite a bit.
Thank you, Gene. Further discussion on the motion? Nope, seeing none, we'll call for a vote. The motion was to recommend to the City Council to establish a temporary venue at a minimum of 1 year for fishermen to sell their product along the waterfront. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? No, it passes unanimously. Thank you. Anything else with regard to that item, Eric, before we move on? That concludes item D1 under new business. We'll move on to item D2, discussion and recommendations regarding the need for, location and use of, and interest in expanded fish cold storage capabilities in Morro Bay. And same thing with this item. There's no one here in the gallery tonight, so we won't have public comment on this. Normally we would, but since there's no one here, we'll skip that part, and we'll go straight to Eric. Eric.
Thank you. So similar to the last item, this was out of, I think, some comments heard from the commercial fishermen, and Harbor Advisory Board wishes to future agendize this. This is also an item in our Morro Bay Fishing Community Sustainability Plan, potential of additional cold storage. We used to have in town a lot more cold storage, and we had more processing back when we had the Cordero Winston, and just up the top of Beach Street, we had a pretty big refrigeration plant up there, and as the fishing climate has changed, and it was mainly the draggers and the large amount of ground fish that used to go through here that used all that processing. and all that cold storage.
I agree, fishermen are ignorant about these things, you know. I mean, I especially am. I mean, there's more experienced people than me that could be talking. But Brett made a short statement that was, I'll read it. He says, and this is hasn't been vetted for grammar, the space used frozen could be very high if our fishermen united in some sort of marketing group. In the past, I have heard a lot of talk about this, and I believe that most fishermen or marketing groups would benefit more than they can even imagine from freezer storage. Contact Santa Monica Free Seafood. I know they were going to build their own cold storage. If the location was secure, they might want to sublease space. Freezing at sea is part of many of our fisheries, and our harbor has missed out on a lot of money not having a facility. I think of the thousands of square feet of freezer storage our harbor has lost, while the harbors with freezer storage are growing like crazy with the best markets to sell to. Signed, Brett Cunningham. That was in his comments response to the survey. There were a couple of other fishermen who also said that people don't understand what cold storage could do for us. I'm one of the people who doesn't understand, I have to confess, but I do know whenever year at the end of the albacore season when I'm coming down the coast, if I have tons of albacore on my boat, there's always a big question mark of whether I can sell it in Morro Bay. If I could put it in a freezer, I could, you know, I don't want to leave it on the boat with the engine running, you know, ad infinitum, you know. So I personally would use it in that situation. And one thing that happens up north is they bring in agricultural freezing trucks. But if you're doing that in the harvest season, then all of a sudden you can't get any trucks for the the vegetable. There's a real problem there. And that's about all the survey came up with. There was people who said they'd do it. There was a lot of people who said, why are you doing this? You know, this is going to detract from the boatyard. You know, the city isn't capable of doing two things at once. And I don't know if the city is or not, and I well, it is. It would be another big project. So, and I don't know whether that's feasible or not. And the fishermen are of the opinion that, you know, fine, if we can do both, that's great. But if we have to pick one or the other to get a reasonable amount of effort, let's do the boatyard. So.
And I would also add, Alan, I read through the responses. It seemed that there was an overwhelming majority of the fishermen that favored a freezer facility as opposed to a cold storage. Is that correct?
That's right.
Bill?
Brett brought up an interesting point. He, I believe, sold his business to Santa Monica Seafood. It would seem to me, logically, if they were thinking of building a cold storage facility, wherever they are right now, that would be the most logical, at least testing site. Have you had any discussions with them at all, Eric?
They do have those two refrigerated cold storage boxes. Those were put in by Jerry Driscoll back when he started up on that dock here about a decade or plus ago. You know, those are really intended for putting the product in freeze or cold and putting it on a ship and running across the ocean. That's what they're made for. So they're not the most efficient things in the world. They got big, heavy doors. It's like going into a bank vault every time. They're not really a true commercial freezer for commercial freezer purposes. They are interested, my understanding, in trying to change that out into something a little more accessible and a little more efficient. Those cold boxes aren't very efficient either. So as far as that goes, I know they're interested in it. But beyond that, I can't speak for them.
So what we are being asked about tonight as the advisory board is if we want to make any recommendation or not to the staff or to the city council with regard to this cold storage facility.
Well, you know, frankly, I think I'm in the same boat as Alan. I don't know much about cold storage, whether it be utilized, how much it costs, where it would go. There's a lot of questions that I'm not real, I couldn't even logically discuss them. So that's where I am.
Ron?
In a very real sense, this revolves around feasibility in terms of use, just as the marine facilities does. That's my opinion. And the use revolves around commercial fishermen.
Right.
So I would suggest that, and I think it has potential. I mean, I think it could contribute potentially to the economics of the city. So I think it's might be a good idea to start with an ad hoc committee from this body.
Thank you, Ron. And I agree with your comments that this is largely going to be based on demand. I do see a difference between this and a haul-out facility, and that a haul-out facility would be more widely used by not just the fishing industry, but by mariners in general up and down the coast. So I'll tell you what I'd like to, where I'm leaning on this is not yet establishing an ad hoc committee, but really kind of waiting for the commercial fishermen's organization to come to us, because they would be the primary users of this facility, and say, hey, we see a need for this, we want this, and can you advocate for us? That's kind of what I'm thinking. I because it's a capital improvement project. It involves a lot of cost, and the difference in my mind between this and something, for instance, or for example, like we just did with the temporary dock for sales, off the boat sales, well, that's not a huge capital improvement project. I think that can be fairly easy to do with some work on staff's part, and if it's either going to work or it's not, and there's not a whole lot lost if it doesn't work. This, however, is a major capital expenditure and will take a lot of expense
and space.
So I think it's something that needs to be more carefully considered, part of which, Ron, to your point, would be maybe establishing an ad hoc committee. But I don't want to do that necessarily arbitrarily as a board at this point without having some type of resolution or official demand coming to us from the commercial fishermen's organization. And I suppose, Alan, I'll defer to you with
I'm fine with
comments.
That. Just to, if you could direct us to study it some more and figure out what we need, and we'll do that.
Okay. So I would just as an individual board member at this point, I would ask, because you represent the CFO of the Commercial Fishermen's Organization, I would ask you to go back to that body, and if there is a demand from that body, we are certainly happy to take it up.
Okay. That sounds great. Yeah, and then at that point, ad hoc committee, once we've figured out what it is we'd like, or at least get ourselves up to speed so that we can answer questions intelligently.
Right. Other questions, comments, discussion on this, Dana?
Yeah, I would agree with that train of process. That way, just like when the fishermen came here and gave us descriptions of their fisheries, that was fantastic. It was a huge amount of knowledge that we needed, and I like that a lot. And I, you know, they could do the same thing with this and describe the differences between refrigeration and the freezer, and then also, you know, the market demand. If we have some existing facilities, but they're not quite up to par, you know, are they? You know, I think the question's been asked: are they planning on upgrading? And this, no, it seems like there is market demand that they probably want to do that. Unless there's just not enough room there, if that's the issue too. So, I think that's the right way to go: is have the Commercial Fishermen's Organization come back and give us some good feedback on that.
Yeah, I will say there were a lot of respondents, and there are a lot of fishermen who fish longline gear who are interested on a year-round basis in being able to store their baited gear in a frozen situation. So that's about the only full-time customer that I know of. And the rest of it's kind of sporadic.
So do we have consensus as far as a body with regard to the direction on this?
I concur.
Okay. And so that consensus then is that Alan will go back to the CFO, and we will leave it incumbent upon them to come to us and ask for further action on this matter. Eric?
I would add at some point in this process we ought to incorporate input from our fish buyers. As I said earlier, I mean, I have spoken to Central Coast, and they're thinking about changing that system around largely for efficiency's sake, but also to get some more space if possible, because those things aren't very efficient size or anything. And I don't know what sort of interest there is over at Central Coast with Giovanni DeGuermore and the, you know, the baiters, Lonnie with his baiting service out there. You know, he baits for you guys for the long lines and some of the other fisheries. He may have some interest in some cold storage space too to be able to store it. So I think it's not, there's a few other players out there be worth pulling into this conversation as well.
Okay. Anything else? So we're not making a specific recommendation.
Pretty soon. So the potential of bringing it back to the June budget, Harbor Advisory Board June meeting. I know, Alan, you had, we had some consensus a few meetings ago about it, sort of a tsunami. You know, what do we do in the event of a tsunami, and how do we get word out to everybody and kind of developing a plan and protocol on that? That's still hanging out there. Liveaboard ordinance update, that as we came out of the couple meetings ago, talked about the marine surveyor requirements and the definition of that and definition of the other thing. There was some more homework. We're still working on that through our city attorney and a couple other places. So the potential of that coming back in June. What else you got here, Polly? Coast Guard building, location plans, that's a constantly moving target. Power property, I know there's some interest in the council with trying to move forward on some planning for the power plant property. Nothing's been formalized yet. I don't think there's anything that's close to Harbor Advisory Board review yet. Polly, what else do you have? At some point, and I may try and add it in if we do some rules and regulation changes for this fish dock. There's a ton of rules and regulations in our existing document that I'd like to clean up and change, and I've got a couple other things I'd like to bring forward, but nothing else hanging that is real important that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay. Thank you, Eric. And as a reminder, Eric has a list of pending items for future agenda items, and then any board member, of course, can add future agenda items with the concurrence of two other members that goes on that list. Bill.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, but at least there's interest in my, on my part here regarding looking back at the Back Bay Marina, the leaseholder, and, you know, the month-to-month that they're doing. I think that our conversation was that you were going to talk to the state to see if we can get a longer lease and get back to us. And, you know, I had some reservations about maybe even the city taking over that lease, collecting the revenue. And I really would like to keep that on the agenda. Hopefully another of my fellow board members would like to do that.
And I do have that still on my pending, kind of around ongoing pending, the city council. And we heard it here, must have been what, last fall. I brought to city council, and city council took it more as an informational item. Our direction was, from the Harbor Advisory Board, was recommending extending the permits if necessary, stay in the operating agreement, clean up a couple areas of language. City council said bring it back in 6 months, and we'll hear it again and get an update. We've since had some conversation with state parks, and there may be some movement there in terms of activity, so that timing is pretty good to bring that back in the next couple of months as well. Keep in mind, July, we typically cancel.
So to clarify, that is remains on your pending list?
Correct.
Okay. Good. Dana?
One thing I was thinking about was as these water leases come up and there's improvements as far as docks go, it would be interest of me, and I think a lot of other people, is when that happens, if we could get something up on the screen or, you know, some kind of, or even in our paperwork, just showing what the dock configurations look like, I think that'd be really helpful. And if there are any that are getting ready to be built that have already been permitted, that we haven't seen. I think that'd be a good thing to have.
Just the water ones?
What's that?
Just the dock water type?
Well, that's what I'm mostly interested in. But, I mean, you know, if it ties in with the whole
okay, I mean,
the whole project, then that's okay, too.
That doesn't sound like that needs to be future agenda. It sounds like that can be an update because I've been trying to get lease news in there. And if, you know, lease site ABC has got such and such a proposal or got a permit approved for this, sounds like just a request to bring in an overhead shot of what's going on, a little more detail on that.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Good. Other items for future agenda items? Ron?
I'd like to request that the Harbor Department advise the Harbor Advisory Board concerning how the harbor mooring field is designed, including such considerations as the number, size, displacement, windage of vessels, as well as the mooring anchor positions, types, and sizes, and also how that design is maintained.
And that stems from the letter we got here a little month ago. Okay.
So that I want to clarify something with Eric before I ask for
advisory board input and backing on the direction we're going. Just makes it that much more solid a decision when we carry something forward if we've got the board behind us as well.
Okay, great. Well, with that said, then I would concur with that. Is there anyone else that would concur with that item? Dana? Yep. Good. Okay. So we can put that on as a future agenda item. Other future agenda items? Alan?
We had a little discussion at the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Directors meeting about possibly revisiting the qualifications to keep a city slip after listening to Dickie Sylvester and others. We thought we might want to go over that again. So we're going to talk about this some more and possibly have something to bring up at some point in the future.
Good. Thank you. Future agenda items? Gene? No? No others? All right, then before we adjourn, I am going to remind the public that it is Saturday, May 17th. The Morro Bay Harbor Department will have their open house and the christening of our new Harbor Patrol fire rescue boat, boat number 64. And the Coast Guard will be there as well, providing tours of their station and vessels as well. So again, Saturday, May 17th from 10 a.m. until noon, right at the Harbor Department offices and the Coast Guard offices as well.
Thank you. And don't forget the red side channel markers on the south side are missing for all you boaters out there that are just tuning in. I'm sure there's lots of you. Stay on the green side of the channel.
Stay on the green side in the channel. Excellent. A motion to adjourn, please.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn by Bill, seconded by Alan. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen, for a good meeting.
Okay, Dina.